Welcome, friends. I'm your host of Lunchtime Conversation, Annette Weiser, and with me today is a triple threat Broadway icon, Laura Bell Bundy. She's going to be joining the Mahaffey Summer Camp for a special one-night event for the Bill Edwards Foundation for the Arts. Welcome, Laura.
Thank you for having me.
So exciting. So I'm going to start with your acting career. We'll talk a little bit about your journey, but you start on Broadway in many things, Wicked, of course, and other things, Hairspray. But tell us about your role in Legally Blonde.
Well, I played Elle Woods in Legally Blonde in the original cast, and I developed it prior to it coming to Broadway for about 2 years. And it was an amazing time, and I learned a lot as an actress and a person. And it's been incredible because Legally Blonde, at the time, Legally Blonde was filmed for MTV in the middle of its run. And they aired it over a course of a weekend. They aired 6 performances, and it got 20 million views. And then later it was sort of digitized on YouTube, and now a lot of young people who weren't even alive when Legally Blonde was happening have seen this musical. And because of that, it has become a part of the sort of musical theater vernacular and education for a lot of young theater kids, because that sometimes Legally Blonde, or almost always Legally Blonde, is a musical that young theater kids do because it is available to watch on YouTube. You know, they get to see it and then they get to do it. And so because of that, it's just become a part of our theater culture. And it's really cool. You know, it's really cool that I get to go, and when these kids are learning about Legally Blonde, to talk to them about Legally Blonde and what the experience was like and give them some tips and, you know, backstory and all of that. So that's how I end up being integrated into things like camps where people are doing Legally Blonde.
Right. Well, and I want to just say that, and we're going to come back to this at the end of the interview, you actually have an incredible Women of Tomorrow foundation and program where you empower women. So it seems like Legally Blonde, the musical, also became a movement for you. And we'll talk about that at the end of the interview. So I understand that Katrina, who is in charge of the education program, and some of the gals came up to see you in New York City. And have you been to the Mahaffey Theater ever in St. Pete?
I have not. I have been to St. Pete, and it is beautiful, and I am very much looking forward to going back. In fact, Carrie Butler and I did a little bit of a sunset cruise there a couple years ago. They have the Florida Thespians Festival down there in March, and I went down to teach some master classes and do some performances with her, and we enjoyed ourselves.
That is so exciting. And folks, this event, so it's really incredible. You're going to be there with the kids doing private workshops with the students, helping them to refine their performance and one-on-one coaching. Tell me a few tips that you like to share with up-and-coming thespians, and in particular the young women who in the past have struggled with self-esteem perhaps and even mental health issues and still face many of the issues that you talk about in your Women of Tomorrow. So tell me some of the things you might share with them during that week.
Well, I will tell you that if there's anybody who is an artist or has interest in the creative or performing arts, this is a wonderful way to deal with any sort of self-confidence issues, pain, etc. Because here is the thing. Every story that we tell, right, in musical theater inherently has conflict, right? There is no story that is interesting without a character having to overcome something, fight a challenge. That's why we watch the story, and then come out of it on the end, whether they came out of it good or they came out of it bad. In order for that character in going through that challenge is going to experience a number of emotions, pain, confusion, fear, you name it. as an actor, you must have had those experiences in life that caused pain, confusion, and fear for you to truly understand what it is like to be that character at that point in their journey in the show. And no audience is interested in watching an actor who is not truly feeling those emotions and isn't connecting to it. So what I say to these kids is, listen, don't avoid pain. That's what we all do as human beings. We try as hard as we can to avoid pain, avoid pain. That's what we do. But as an artist, you must embrace your pain. You must sit with it. You must understand it. You must go, what is this sensation in my body? And how can I create it as an actor to become a great, believable, connected actor that audiences want to watch? And so it's a wonderful thing to say, hey, let's change the lens of viewing the pain that, and struggles that we have in life. As an artist, we can embrace it and say, hey, bring it on.
You know, I think this is so interesting because, of course, you're talking about characters with conflict. You played Glinda in Wicked. And honestly, the women characters always seem to have an interesting story arc that you have been performing. So this is really exciting that you're going to be here for this week. Folks, I'm talking right now to Laura Bell Bundy. She's going to be at the Mahaffey Summer Camp for a special one-night event. It is a fundraiser for the Bill Edwards Foundation for the Arts, and it is part of the Mahaffey Class Act Summer Camps. That is Friday, July 18th. The cocktail reception and dinner is at 6. The fabulous cabaret performance to follow is at 7:30. And not only will Laura Bell Bundy be performing some of her music, but she'll be collaborating with the students. So back to our interview, and thank you, Laura, so much for being with us. Tell me a little bit about your journey. And, you know, obviously rejection is part of being in beauty pageants, being an actor, being a singer, getting up on stage. Tell me just in the USA Today version, your trajectory to being a superstar.
Oh, God. Well, I certainly don't consider myself a superstar. Let me just say that. I have a lot of anonymity in life, and I love that. I started, my journey began, I was 5 years old, and my mom put me in a pageant. And I won a new car, which is totally crazy. I don't know who thinks it's a good idea to give a young child a car. But my mom was like, we'll take the money. And that led, and I'm from Kentucky, so it came with all the Southern regalia. And then we got this opportunity to go on the Phil Donahue show because they were going to do this episode on children's pageants. So we go up for this all-expense-paid trip to New York City, and I get my new dress, and I do my little walk, and it turns out to be an expose on children's pageants. Okay.
Oh, wow.
And they bring out a child psychologist. The audience turns against the mothers of the kids. It was a mess. And, of course, my mother's like, well, I can't believe it happened. I'm only up here. So what does she do? She turns, you know, she shines the turd, if you will. And she goes, I am going to take this, my daughter, to Ford Modeling Agency. And she waltzes me over there. And she's like, we're here to see the children's division. And they said, ma'am, you need an appointment. And she said, well, this is Miss Pee Wee Hemisphere. And if you're going to meet her, you're going to need to meet her now because we're leaving tomorrow. And they let my crazy mother up and me, and they signed me to a 5-year contract on the spot.
And how old were you then?
I was 5.
Wow.
I was 5. And then when I was about to turn 6, I turned 6. And that summer, I didn't, you know, she goes, she wasn't thinking it through. And she goes, well, we don't live here. And you might have to edit that. She goes, well, we don't live here. And they said, don't worry, there's this thing called summer kids. You can just come in the summer. So that began at the age of 6. I was just about to start first grade. I started coming to New York City in the summers, and I would do these modeling jobs, and I would also see Broadway shows. And I was doing theater as a young kid and dancing at home in Kentucky. And so when I came to New York, my mom would like stalk the teachers at Broadway Dance to teach me privates and find the vocal coach who taught all the young Cosettes and Les Mis, you know. And so that became my singing teacher that I saw every summer, who really made me a thoughtful singer. And my dance teachers, like Chuck Kelly, really like upped the game on my dancing and tapping and things like that. And then I'd go home and I'd be a normal kid for the school year. And yeah, I've been facing rejection since I was literally at the Phil Donahue Show pageant, five. But for auditions, and I'm like, you win some, you lose some. And my philosophy is around all of that is, it's a really funny story I have to tell you as well. But my philosophy around that is you get the jobs you're supposed to get, because in life you're supposed to meet a certain group of people who are going to change you and make you who you are. It's not just about your career or your stardom or your trajectory. It's about your lessons in life and where you are at the time you're supposed to be, where you are learning what you need to learn. And so I think of it very spiritually. I go and I have fun in an audition or rehearsal process or whatever. And if what I'm told is, you know, and I trust my instincts and I work hard and I show up with my best foot forward, I would say I try it to a majority of the time, give it my all. And if when I give it my all, if that's not what they want, then that's just, it's not personal. It's just, it wasn't a perfect fit. And there's some other open door for me somewhere else. I can't stay looking at the one that's closed.
I love that. It's so inspiring. And, you know, we say that the audition is the job and the gig, the actual part, is the bonus. And, you know, folks, I want you to know that not only has she been on Broadway, but you also co-wrote and co-directed and co-starred in the 2024 Off-Broadway Mama, I'm a Big Girl Drama Desk nomination. What led you to do that?
Listen, that was all sort of this wild, serendipitous, beautiful experience of creative synergy and doors opening. So I had, I was in the original cast of Hairspray, and I was the villain, Amber Von Tussel, and there was a song in the show. It was the third or fourth song in the show called Mama, I'm a Big Girl Now, that featured me, Carrie Butler, who played Penny, and Marissa Jarrett Winoker, who was the star of the show, Tracy Turnblad. And we sang this song to our mothers. And we were sort of like, I was the villain, Carrie was the sidekick, and Tracy was the star, Marissa as Tracy was star of the show. And we all have been friends for years. We never stopped being friends. Like, our Hairspray cast is a tight group of people, and especially the three of us. And then I was working with Carrie on something, and she asked me, you know, what do you think, have you talked to Marissa? What is she doing? And in that moment, we should do a concert together. It could be called Mama, I'm a Big Girl Now, because literally we are all big girls now, and literally we are all mamas. And so we reached out to her.
That is so adorable.
She didn't get our message for like 6 months. And finally, I was talking to her. I was like, do you ever get our message? And she's like, what message? So I tell her the idea. She's like, this is the greatest idea I've ever heard. And she then started to be the conductor of the train. Like, we got to get this together. What are we doing? And so we put together this, what the drama desk calls a review. At the time, for us, it was this concert that tracked our origin stories to Hairspray, the time in Hairspray, the backstories, our lives and careers after finding love, becoming mamas, the woes of motherhood, and our 20-year friendship, all weaved through, all done through song, through comedy bits, with a table full of props and costume changes. And it like became a show because I don't think me, Marissa, and Carrie can do anything at anything less than 150%. Like we're constantly having new ideas and things that we should change. And then we started adding projection and pictures, childhood pictures. And I mean, it just kept growing. And we were doing this as concerts on the road. And then we got this opportunity because of a woman named Lisa Dozier, who is a producer, to come to New York City and do the show at New World Stages at the Off-Broadway Theater there. And we had a six-week run and extended 2 weeks. And we didn't even know we were eligible for a Drama Desk Award. So when we got nominated, it was a total surprise, because what I'm telling you is what this felt like is that, you know, you start acting because you love to play, right? Because you love to be silly, right? And you get an excuse for it. Everybody else just becomes an alcoholic. Other people become actors to get the permission to be silly. And so when me and Carrie and Marissa came together, our childlike selves, the 20-year-old versions of ourselves that we were when we met each other, just sort of came alive. And so it felt like we were just playing in the backyard. And then, except for we're just really good at playing now, you know? and so that's what that, and we tour that show now. So, you know, we've done several shows in Florida. We did in March. We were at the Jupiter Malts. We were in Aventura. I think we have some upcoming Florida at some point.
We hope it comes here to St. Pete Free Fall Theater, folks, American Stage. You need to talk to Laura Bell Bundy about this, right? Well, I want to move for a moment. You know, I understand now, because you mentioned Kentucky, I was going to ask you about your country song. I have to tell you, I have been playing American Girl since last night. Cannot get over the video. Folks, I will have the link to this. It is hilarious. Again, women empowerment. Again, just like Elle Woods, questioning the status quo and letting the world know that it doesn't have to be this way. Talk to me a little bit about your music. I mean, you have garnered a CMT nomination, Billboard Top 5 album, and you've toured the world with your original music, and you've opened for Rascal Flatts, Blake Shelton, and Dwight Yoakam, Miranda Lambert. And then I think Your Woman of Tomorrow was released in 2024 or 2025.
It was like 2021. It was like
2021.
COVID.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, COVID, which is the worst time to release music.
and yet it's launched a movement. But tell me a little bit about the music that you love and the music that you perform, and how it is that you're a double. I say you're a triple threat because you're also an activist. So tell us a little bit. We've seen the actress side, and it's such a joy to talk to you about that. Tell us a little bit about the country singer.
Well, so I grew up in Kentucky, and I loved country music. And when I was a teenager, you know, when I was in New York for a time, obviously going to in the summers, I ended up spending the ages of 9 to 14 in New York City. But I went back to Kentucky at 14, and I did high school there. And at that time, I started writing poetry, and then as a singer, just kind of became music and songwriting. And I had a band, then I moved back to New York at 18, and I had a band with another girl who's from Kentucky, and we were, you know, playing at clubs we weren't old enough to get into in New York, and that was country, and it was a little bit bizarre. Here we are in New York City playing country music. Believe it or not, there's an audience for it, but it wasn't Nashville.
Oh, I'm a big country fan. You're talking to the, you know, I've been actually playing all your songs today.
You know, after I did Legally Blonde, during that time, I was like, you know what? I really got to give this dream of being a, you know, a songwriter and a recording artist a real shot. It's been on the back burner, and now I'm going to put it on the front burner here. And I moved to Nashville. I had a publishing contract with EMI at the time, which then became Sony Publishing, and then Universal Music Group, was my record label. I was very fortunate to get a record deal. And I think at that time, Legally Blonde certainly helped make that happen. And I lived there for 5 years, and that's what I did all day, every day, was write music and record and figure out what the songs were going to be for the albums that I did. And I toured, and I loved it. And I love writing music. I love it. It's just again, like an extension of the playing. And after I started to feel like the actual business of country music and the getting on the radio and the thing just felt like you could start to find yourself in a copycat situation where it took away a lot of originality. And I began to sort of like lean back into my acting career. When I guess part of the Me Too movement and the double standards on women became sort of at the forefront of my mind, I wrote this album, Women of Tomorrow, which basically delves into the different issues that women are facing today, and does so in a way that winks at you, does so in a way that is personal, but also celebrates how far women have come. So that's the album Women of Tomorrow, where you've heard the song American Girl.
You launched the foundation.
Yeah, and then we launched this companion foundation and podcast. The podcast essentially delved deeper into those issues. So if we're doing a song about equal pay, which is like using the sample of we're in the money and looping and you know, calling it Let's Get Down to Business, we're gonna do a podcast that essentially discusses the history of women and money and bring on a guest who talks about women and money. You know, it wasn't so long ago that women actually were property themselves. And then we weren't allowed to own property in this country until the turn of the 20th century. So by the end of the 1800s, most states were allowing women to own property, have custody of their kids, maybe move in action to get divorced. But prior to that, that was limited by the laws of coverture that had been brought over from Great Britain to the United States and were still very much in play when our forefathers founded our country. So women have had to fight out of the laws of coverture for every right. And so most people don't know that. So we have a podcast that educates them on that and then talks about how, you know, where we stand today in regarding to, you know, whatever. So for financial stuff, you know, it wasn't until 1974 that women could take out a credit card or a bank loan without the permission of their husband and father, which of course very much limits what you can do independently as a business owner or entrepreneur or single person.
Right, right. And bring out of the closet all of these issues from domestic violence to women being incarcerated in mental hospitals because they choose to be different.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, we do a whole section on the silencing of women, which includes, there was a time because of the laws of coverture that came through there in the 1800s, you know, any husband could put their wife in a mental institution for any reason, but they themselves couldn't go to the mental institution without the courts determining whether they were crazy. But that rule did not apply for women. So there's this list, there's this like, if you could look it up, the many reasons that women went to the institution, and there is like one was novel.
Even a famous actress in what was her name in the 50s? Fanny Farmer? No, there was a famous actress who was forced to do that as well. You know, I have to say, and I know that we have a little time crunch here.
Yeah.
I want to say that I'm hearing Elle Woods. come alive in this. And folks, I just think it's so exciting that Laura Bell Bundy is going to be here to perform and to coach the summer camp students. And I want to just ask you real quickly, what I noticed that you had done, the Laura Bell Bundy, Carrie Butler, and Marissa Jarrett, Rinna Kerr hosted the 2025 Cheetah Rivera Awards, again about women empowerment. Isn't that right?
Well, we were asked to do that because of Mama, I'm a Big Girl Now, and Mama, I'm a Big Girl Now being on this season. I don't think it directly had to do with female empowerment. But when we walk out on stage, you feel female empowerment.
That is fantastic. So, Laura, were you
bossy moms?
Three bossy moms. Well, let me tell you, folks, you won't find anything bossy about Laura Bell Bundy when she shares her talent, her insight, and coaches the young people that are part of Class Acts. Bill Edwards, the CEO and founder of Bill Edwards Foundation for the Arts, is so thrilled to have her here. She's not only an extraordinary performer and inspiring mentor. Laura, what can people expect at the cabaret on Friday, July 18th from you music-wise?
Well, it's a student-led concert as we're featuring the students that I've been working with throughout the day prior. And from me, you will get to hear songs from shows that I've done, including one of the very first shows that I ever did, where Britney Spears was my understudy, and that's a fun little twist on that song. I'm singing a song from Wicked. I'm singing a song from Legally Blonde. And so I guess I'm doing the highlights, if you will, and then some storytelling. Like I've told you a bit about my story, but there's a lot more, and so I'll be sharing more of that. And then we get to see these beautiful young people perform, and that's what this is about. That's what Bill Edwards is about. You know, this camp, this theater is like building the community, creating a real tentpole for arts. And so that's the point. And that, you know, that's what the fundraising is for, is so that we can continue to have this wonderful place for the arts, to, you know,
to grow and nurture. Absolutely.
Walked in and asked me where my
yes. right. So listen, I just want to say thank you. I'm very pleased that you had time to talk with Radio St. Pete. Folks, I'll have all the information about the July 18th concert, the phone number, and the website. Laura Bell Bundy, a Tony-nominated Broadway actress and Billboard Top 5 recording artist, coming exclusively to the Mahaffey, July 18th. Laura, thank you for your time today.
Oh, yeah, no problem. Thank you.
For Radio St. Pete, I'm your host, Nanette Weiser. Until we sing and dance again.